Thank you, Caleb and Sarah, leading us in worship today. If you would, find in your Bible Psalm 119. Psalm 119 will be our psalm for the day as we kind of continue, maybe come toward the conclusion of our time together, our trek through the Psalms. Some of them may have gone, some may already be here, but, and it seems to go against what I would usually do, but the children who are part of his kids, you have permission to be dismissed now in preparation for that. Now, the rest of you got to stick with us, y'all hang around. But if you're in his kids, might be a time to go let you be dismissed and get ready for what's going to be at the end of the service. But you can stay the whole time for the second service if you'd like, and won't cost you a thing for that. I thank you for walking with me through last couple of months as we have been through this. Certainly have not talked about every psalm, but we've been talking about some psalms, maybe just some that hopefully under the direction of the Holy Spirit we've chosen to be able to look at so that we might be able to discover more about the psalms, more about God. Particularly, we've discovered Jesus in the psalms in several places. But maybe just for high mention here as we think about some of the other favorite psalms or favorite verses, like, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. You may have a favorite. I love to take delight in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Psalmist also said, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. We recognize the Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? It is the psalmist who said, be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted into the earth. It's the psalmist who said, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. And also, Psalm 100, one of the more famous psalms that we didn't talk about, but we're going to at least mention, honorable mention today. All of them are honorable mention. But enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. So we're certainly not through with the psalms, even though we've kind of come to the conclusion of this particular series of messages. We're actually moving to Proverbs next Sunday, and it's kind of called Welcome to God Camp, Skills for Living. So you're going to all be kind of invited to kind of a Skills for Living God Camp. You'll be hearing more about that, but we encourage you on the 1st, on October the 1st, I want you to read Proverbs 1, 31 days in October. Read a proverb every day with all that you're other reading that you're doing. Some of you are doing the 100 days of reading. We encourage you to add a proverb with that for the month of October. And then how about this? Plan to be here for the month of October and bring others with you. Be a great time maybe to invite others to come and to be a part. We're in Psalm 119 today. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 7 to begin with, but there'll be others that we look at as well. Psalm 119 verses 1 through 7 says this. I'll tell you what. Would you stand in honor of the reading of God's word? You just sat down, but come on, let's stand anyway. How about that? Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes, that I should not be put to shame. Having my eyes fixed on all your commandments, I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word today, and you may be seated. We recognize today as we come into this place that truth is Jesus. It's found in him that Jesus is the truth. He said, I am the way and the only way. We recognize that the entire Bible points to the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, recognizing that he is the only way. We're saved by grace through faith in Christ. And truth, absolute truth, is found in God's word. The Bible from Genesis to maps all points to Jesus and to the good news of the gospel. So while we say truth is found in these, they cannot be separated, you understand. Today we give tribute to the word of God, the Bible. We give tribute to the one who is the living word, who is Jesus. In John 1:1, it was about Jesus when it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. We, the church, hold the solutions for every individual, for everyone in the world, for the world itself, because we know Jesus and because we have the Word of God. Psalm 119 gives tribute to the Word of God. Did you notice the first three verses of this psalm that we read? Phrases like, blessed are those whose ways are blameless. Blessed are those who do no wrong and follow God's commands. Well, if we're only blessed, if we're blameless, you need to know something. I'm out. Because I certainly have not been blameless. Well, maybe he's talking about particularly those who are followers of the Lord and have dedicated themselves to the Lord. Maybe they're the ones who are blessed. Well, again, I'm out, because even though I'm better than I was because of Jesus, I'm still a sinner saved by grace. But the Bible reveals to us a couple of things in these first few verses of Psalm 119. One is that we have a need for help and hope found in relationship with the Lord, because all of us, as the scripture says, we all fall short. We're sinless. We make wrong choices. But also, there's value in the Word of God and all that the Lord wants to teach us. It's found some of it in that little word, blessed. These first three verses might remind us of the Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus began his Sermon on the Mount, it began with the Beatitudes, all of them beginning with that word blessed, sometimes translated happy, sometimes we say blessed. It means we're better off reading and listening and following all of God's law. These are God's instructions, which, by the way, teach us about salvation and righteousness that are not found by doing works, but by God's grace demonstrated in the life, death, and the resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Thus, by the blood sacrifice of Jesus, which we celebrated today when we partook of the Lord's Supper, we're made blameless. We are presented as if we had no wrong. He gives us the greater incentive in order that we might be able to follow Him and His Word. To be blessed has little or nothing to do, of course, with material possessions or physical well-being, but everything to do with our ability to worship, our ability to be able to give praise, to be able to walk alongside and with Jesus, the Holy Spirit in our heart, and to be a part and participate in kingdom work. Those who follow His Word will not be put to shame. Psalm 119, it is the conclusion that we're going with today. It's not the conclusion of Psalms. Of course, there's 150, but of our series today. And it's an important psalm because it gives tribute to the voice of God and His written Word. So I want us to do an object lesson here today. If you've got your Bibles, or you've got your, won't work quite as well with your cell phone, but I want us to do an object lesson. If you close your Bibles, you recognize this, of course. And if you have your Bibles closed, I want all to participate. If you go on your phone, you just find 119 again, if you've not already done that. If you've not found it, you'll need it today. So if you've been listening or looking on the screen, this is not going to be on the screen. You'll need your cell phone or your Bible. Some are found there. And boy, it looks like you're all ready to participate, I guess. Find the very center, if you would, the very center of the Bible. And you'll be, if you're truly in the center, you'll be at Psalm 119, give or take a chapter. Because the very center, according to some, the very center of the Bible is Psalm 118 in verse 8, to where it says it's better to take refuge in God than to trust in humans. Providential, perhaps, to be in the center of the Bible is this tribute, the longest chapter in the Bible, certainly the longest psalm, and a tribute to the Word of God. Now that you've got that open, what I want you to do is I want you to pick a number. Now I'm going to encourage you to use the number of your age or the year in which you were born. Now, if you are 75 or older, you may want to use the year in which you were born, the last two numbers of the year in which you were born for that. Okay? I'll give you an example. Today, my number is 62. It just so happened to be that I was born in 1962, and I am 62. So I have one number to choose from. Pick a number. You pick a number. If you're taking notes, write that number down if you would. And then find, if you would, verse, whatever number you're found. I'm verse 62. So do we have verse 62 up there? If verse 62 says this, just to give you an example, you don't look 62. I mean, unless you are 62 or born in 62. Or pick another number. But at midnight I rise to praise you because of your righteous rules. And then Psalm 119, 162, you could pick, you'd have two verses there. If you like, you may want to then pick whichever one that you like. But Psalm 162 says, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. So that's an example. You're to find another verse, okay, with that, because we're going to do something here with it in just a moment. Now, Here's what I want you to do is now you've got another line, and I want you to fill that line in for yourself. I praise God because His Word is, and I would say I praise God because His Word is righteous, or His Word is a treasure, one of those. Take you just a moment, do it quickly. We only have so much time, or have a, if you're not a writer, you don't want to write it down, have that in your mind. Because I realize that we're Baptist and we don't always speak out loud during worship unless we're talking to our spouse or our neighbor. But what I want you to do, oh, you didn't know I could hear you, did you? But what I want you to do is in a moment I'm going to say, I praise God because His Word is, and then whatever word that you found, whatever way you found in order to fill that out, I want you to say it out loud all at the same time. Everybody has the instructions for us now? Okay. Everybody's got a word. All right, listen, you're the guinea pigs as to see if I'm going to do this in the second service. So, you know, everybody paying attention, you're awake, you're alert, you're ready for this. Now we're ready. I praise God because His Word is righteous. Now, we just said many words that gave praise to God because of His great teaching in God's Word. We may not have understood every word, but you know what? The Lord did. We give praise to Him because of that. Last Sunday night, we were at Greater Peace Baptist Church having one of our joint worship services. What a great, great, every time we get together, it just seems to be a greater time, a wonderful time of worship. I read from 2 Timothy chapter 1, which is part of our 100 days of reading. We read to where Paul told Timothy, says, you've put your trust in the Lord, and now you have been entrusted. God has entrusted you with the good news of the gospel. Well, later on in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, it says this, but as for you, continue in what you have learned, have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Again, he gives tribute, all scriptures breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. See the importance that we put as the New Testament church and as Parkway Baptist Church on what Paul calls the sacred writings. See the importance, of course, that today it is my prayer that you will begin or that you will renew your belief in the importance found in reading and studying the Bible. And if the world and you and others are looking for solutions, this will be the first place that we look. And yes, we'll not want to miss our daily reading and coming to God's Word. We'll not want to miss our weekly study. We'll not want to miss our coming and hearing the preaching of the Word of God in fear that we may miss out on something that God wants to teach each and every one of us. But if you want what is best for you, if you want what is best for your family, be ready to face the world on Monday and every day of the week. I'm standing here on my 2 feet to declare to you, you will never find what is the best or what is the solutions of this world unless you find yourself in the Word of God, daily seeking after Him and growing in your relationship with the Lord Jesus and coming to a church that is a Bible-based church. Otherwise, we will not find the solutions we need. Paul tells Timothy and to us to stay in the Word. To Timothy, he says, to stay with what you've been taught. And for many, that message is the same because you're brought up being taught the Bible, but for others, it is to begin to learn something new. Learn truth from the Bible. Reading the Bible doesn't assure of salvation, but it does give us truth, and it does give us wisdom to find salvation in Jesus and that we might be able to know how to live for Him. We use the word vaccination often in these days, but what's the vaccination for the endurance of the world we live? What's the solution for the world where evil is not, where evil is not only accepted but celebrated, and the goodness or godliness is mocked or considered intolerant? It's truth discovered by God's followers. Do you know the truth? Well, to say that you know all the truth, that'd probably be a little bit arrogant, I guess, to say, but we know the one who is the truth, and we're continuing to learn more and more about Him, and so we want to be constantly be reminded, learn more from Him and from His Word, humbling, coming to His throne, to His Word with a teachable spirit. And yes, we need to speak the truth in love with grace and truth that wins the day. Now, if volume gives weight to importance, then the weight and position of this psalm must be considered. We truly don't know who wrote this psalm. Often it is attributed to David, but if he did write it, whoever wrote it may have spent not just one day or in one writing, but the entirety of their life, perhaps wordsmithing the words for this to be able to be understood and for us to be able to know more and more about the importance of the Word of God. Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. It's not by mistake that it pays tribute, talks about, praises, gives honor to Holy Scripture. I challenge you to read all 176 verses in the next couple of days, and sometime this week, spend time meditating and reflecting on what the Word of God will do in your life if you'll let it. By the way, there are 10 words in the psalm that describe the Word of God, words like commandments and law and precepts and instruction. 7 of those were used in the first 7 verses that we read and will be repeated. See if you notice those 10 words. But if God's Word is so important and powerful, well, let's put it to the test. Let's discover today, we have some selected scripture, how we can apply it, what happens when you listen to God, knowing that these are His instructions. Let's read, first of all, verses 9 through 11. We read through 7 a moment ago. Verse 9 says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I've stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you." So let's say, if you're keeping notes there, but the word of God keeps me clean. The word of God keeps me clean, or at least keeps me cleaner. Helps me how to know, live a holy life, to stay away from sin. We'll never be sinless, but we have that which will help us. God's word is the voice of authority to keep us from sin. We live in a sin-stained world, and from time to time, we're going to get the dirt of this world on us. It leads us to know the cleansing power of God's love. There are people who take showers and baths every day who have never felt clean. But God's word directs us to the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. The Bible says that He will cleanse us, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And knowing and internalizing God's word is the Christian's best method against temptation. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, He was our example by quoting God's word to resist temptation. And as we read it and meditate on it, it cleanses us as water cleanses the body. In fact, Jesus said in John 15 and verse 3, He says, "You're already clean because of the word I have spoken." If you know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you know that you have been forgiven. You've been forgiven of sins, past, present, and future. But still, we find ourselves in this world needing to keep clean. By staying in the word, we do that very thing. What does it mean, do you think, to hide God's word in your heart? Well, it has something to do with treasuring it. That's which we treasure. You do not ignore, but long to have as a part of your life. It is internalizing it. We recognize that as you memorize Scripture, that the Holy Spirit's able to bring it to mind so that it may help you during times of need, certainly during times of temptation. You might remember that Jesus said, "For what is inside a person, that is that which comes out." Have you ever heard somebody say something about somebody, perhaps there's been a little bit of trouble or maybe, you know, a little difficult to deal with? They say, well, inside they are probably really a nice person. Well, you know what may be inside? They're really a rotten person. But what they need is a cleansing. What they need is a new heart. Someone said, it's not enough just to read or study the Bible. We must meditate upon it in a very real sense. We're giving our brain a bath. We're washing in the purifying solution of God's word. Let's read another verse, verse 18. What happens when we listen to God? "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." The word of God opens my eyes. I encourage you to memorize this verse. It's a pretty easy verse to memorize. And then every time you open God's word, that this is a prayer that you pray, that the Lord might open your eyes, that you might be able to say wonderful things from His law and all of His word. I've heard all the excuses. I can't understand it or get anything out of it. It's too boring. Doesn't mean anything to me. Doesn't speak to me or my problems. I tried it once. It didn't do anything for me. Well, ask God to open your eyes that you might see the riches and the wondrous treasures to be found by you in His word. You'll not only see great and wondrous things, but He'll also open your eyes to see the world through His love and compassion and to see yourself as God sees you. As a believer, the Holy Spirit will reveal what you've never seen before. 12 times in this psalm, it uses the phrase, "Teach me." Let's admit, Bible study is not always easy. It takes a teachable spirit and involves the whole person being willing to be taught and changed by God. This particular psalm is the great acrostic, certainly the greatest acrostic psalm in all of the Bible. You might notice there are 22 sections of 8 verses each, verse in each section beginning with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet in order. 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. It used to be that in Hebrew school or in ancient Israel, maybe still someplace today, they used this particular psalm in order that they may be able to teach the alphabet as well as teach the scripture. Still, we know in some Christian schools today that the Bible is used to teach about English and scripture and history. Early in this country, it's common practice even in public schools. But the Bible, open your eyes if you come to it with a teachable spirit. Like the blind man that cried out to Jesus, open my eyes that I may see, maybe that be our cry today every time we come to the scripture. For Gnosis, verses 30 through 33. Psalm 119, verse 30 says, I've chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Much time and energy and money are spent on things that amount to little or nothing. Here we have lasting value, something that really is a good investment. Now, we could take time and perhaps we could learn some facts about the Bible. You know the longest chapter that's in the Bible, Psalm 119. You know the shortest verse in the Bible, John 11, 35, Jesus wept. Number of books in the Bible, many of you know, 66. Number of chapters, 1,189. Or number of verses in the Bible, 31,173. Number of words that are written in the King James English, 783,167. Somebody start counting to see if that's correct. We can learn where certain things are found so that you could look them up or be quizzed. We might even conclude that some Bible knowledge is good, but it's the application that lasts. The sustenance is found in seeking the Lord and being obedient. The Apostle Paul talked of the Christian life as running the race. He said, Jesus has run the race that is set before us. You run with confidence in keeping step by using and reading, being a part, internalizing God's Word. As verse 31 says, you will not be put to shame. Yes, I want you to read the Bible. But walking, running, and living according to the Word gives endurance. What else can we learn when we listen to God's Word? Well, verse 72 says this. And verse 72 says, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver. Well, the Word of God has value beyond comparison. The Word of God has value beyond comparison, and it teaches us where we need to invest. In Acts chapter 3, we know that Peter and John are about to walk into the temple to go into a prayer meeting in the temple. And as they do, they see a lame man that is there by the beautiful gate. And the lame man is begging, and he'd been there since birth. Peter and John, as they go in, they stop, said to the lame beggar, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. It's a familiar, exciting story in the book of Acts. Evidence is the man was not only healed, but he came into the temple praising God that he was saved that day. The healing caused such a commotion that a crowd gathered. You might remember that Peter preached 5,000 were added to the kingdom. If a lame man were begging before a prayer meeting at church today, first of all, not a lot of people would see him. But in the modern church in our country where Peter and John had no money, we have plenty compared to them. We would have to say, silver and gold I have, and we're ready to give you. That is, if you qualify, if we're sure, determined that you're not trying to take advantage of us. And while we can now offer silver and gold, we perhaps feel like maybe we can no longer offer healing or anything of real value if we're not people of the Word. Lives were changed that day because the Word was preached. The psalmist said, the Word of God is more valuable than silver or gold, has the power to change lives, heal the sick, bring salvation to the lost. What makes it any different than any other written text like the Quran or the words of Confucius or the Book of Mormon? How do we know that this is sacred scripture? Well, if you've got a pen or pencil, let me encourage you to write down two words Do and done. Do and done. All other writings, all other religions tell what you must do to be saved, or what you must do to get to heaven, or what you must do to receive karma, or whatever it is that they're selling. Now circle the word done. The Bible points to Jesus and tells us what he has done so that we might be saved and have a relationship with the Almighty. We're saved by grace through faith. What we do is a result of our salvation and not a requirement for our salvation. God's word in Christianity is set apart from every other religion, and God's word is different from any other written document. That's what makes it so valuable. So I encourage you, give everything away that you have. Sell whatever you might possess if that's what's keeping you from his word and from following his word. Verse 93 says this. It says, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. The word of God gives life to me. Same word that spoke everything into existence in the beginning has the power to give life to you and me today. Believe the Bible is God's truth. Believe it to be true from Genesis to Revelation. Writer of Hebrews wrote, very first part of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says this, for the word of God is living and powerful. Bible says the truth about Jesus gives eternal life to all those who believe. And if you're here today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior and Lord, you need to know that you can find life in the Lord Jesus as it's spoken in his word. It also gives life when you are discouraged or weak or feel defeated. It gives you courage and vitality to live each day. Life is not just not dead. Life in Christ, wrapped in the written word, is energy and zeal in being awake to the things of God, and it is eternal life with Jesus. What can we learn if we listen to God, listen to his word? Psalm 119 verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path, maybe the best known of the psalm. God's word gives light to my world. God's word gives light to my world so that we can walk without stumbling in a dark world in which we are. We know that the light of Christ shines in us, and we can be a shining light. Here we're able to find light. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, listen and heed, the word is the light that shines in a dark place. God gives you and I the light we need one step at a time. If you want more light, well, you just go to the word. As you obeyed what the word says, his promise is to give more light, to enlighten your heart and mind, to give you the wisdom that you need. Do you believe it? We'll give it a try. So we are with our friends in one of the closed countries in Africa on a mission trip. And we're just been serving a couple of days, and we're kind of getting late one night, and we're just talking with our friends there and say, what do y'all do for fun? And they begin to say, well, one thing led to another, said, would you like to go on a hyena hunt? I said, a what? I said, would you like to go hunt hyenas? And they said, real hyenas? They said, yeah. And we'd usually hunt them at night. I said, really? I said, yeah. We'd then go down by the slaughterhouse in the village. That should have been a clue of what we were in for. And we listened and we looked for hyenas. I mean, why would you do that? And they said, well, you'll see. So we go near the slaughterhouse and we begin to listen and have our flashlight as we were out there, and we begin to shine our flashlight, and you don't really see the hyenas. All you see is you see the yellow eyes when you look in the light in the dark bush of the countryside there in the middle of nowhere. Civilization's not far away. And all I can tell you is, and maybe to describe it, I mean, this isn't a not so good, maybe an intriguing way, but it's kind of wicked. Kind of like deer in headlights. And so they stare at you there for a few moments, and then they begin to run. And then for some reason, we run after them so that we might be able to catch them in the light once again. And so, you know, you've got your light there, and we're following after the hyenas, and we're trying to catch them in the light. And, you know, so if you ever go on a hyena hunt, let me tell you, whatever you do, don't drop your light. Well, God's word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. The light of truth, absolute truth, helps you know the difference between good and evil and spot that which is false, keep that which is evil on the run. But let me tell you, don't dare drop your light, because there's a whole lot worse things out there than hyenas in this world. What I want you to do, read and study and pray over God's word every day with this in mind. Have a passion for the Bible. Become a lifelong student of Scripture and all that it teaches about Jesus. Know the importance of personal study and worship and small group study. In a world of confusion, brokenness, and false hope, today, keeping it personal, I will run to God's Son, God's word, and God's church for absolute truth. And shine the light on truth and shine the light on Jesus for others to see. Speak God's truth in love. Live it before others, humbly and with care. Let's bow together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity already we've had to be part of worship today. We thank you, Father, that we can proclaim the good news about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, even through the Lord's Supper today. We thank you for the songs that we've been able to sing to give you praise and the reading of your psalm, Father, today, that gives tribute to your holy word. We thank you for the voice of God that we hold in our hand. We thank you for the word of God, who is Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who lives in all those who are believers. May we listen to what you'd have to say, follow you today. Father, we pray if there's one or more that is here today, listening today, that don't know you as Lord and Savior, that today might be the day of their salvation. We lift these prayers in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Would you please stand? We'll sing our song of commitment. First couple of verses. If you're ready to come and join the church, you want to talk about matters of faith, you want to come and pray at our altar or pray with one of our ministry staff here at the front, you come as we sing together.